No sermon this morning. I just want to share a story and a song. But there is one thing from that very familiar to most of us text that I want to highlight. And I'm going to start with a quotation from the great preacher William Sloan Coffin, who was for many years the pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City. It's in his little book, A Passion for the Possible, which was published 20 years ago, and it was a message to U.S. churches where he was basically saying, you've got to get more progressive on an awful lot of things. And this quotation actually happens to be in the chapter where he's railing against homophobia, although that's not the context in which I'm necessarily using it this morning. But at one point he says, every Christmas I marvel at how the word of the Lord hits the world with the force of a hint. Hits the world with the force of a hint. His point is that God chooses to appear as this tiny baby, this meek, humble, small, weak baby. Not a strong man, not a hero, but a baby needing care. And he says that God does this precisely so that we remember, and I quote again, Christ came to earth not to overpower, but to empower. To empower us. To empower us to do our part, to be peacemakers, to be justice seekers, to be people of the way. Now, the story of the Annunciation that we heard Joyce read so beautifully comes right after the story about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Mary is not the only one who gets a visit from Angel Gabriel. But when Luke introduces Zechariah and Elizabeth, he makes a point of letting us know what worthy people they are. Zechariah is a priest. He belongs to the priestly order of Abijah. Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. They're portrayed as righteous and blameless. And then we get to Gabriel's next visit. And what do we hear? We hear that Mary was engaged to Joseph and that her name was Mary. And that is all that Luke tells us. He tells us she was a virgin, but most young women who were not yet married would have been virgins. That was nothing unusual. She was an ordinary woman. She was not of royal blood. She did not have an impressive lineage. She was a nobody. Now, Joseph was of the house of David, but Gabriel doesn't appear to Joseph. Gabriel appears to Mary. It's Mary who has found favor with God. It's Mary who is given the task of bearing the child who will be called Son of God. Extraordinary acts of love and faith are not reserved for extraordinary people. I'm sure Mary had a moment of wondering why this was happening, wondering why me, why would God choose me for this honor, or why would God choose me to have to go through this? But her response, after acknowledging her bewilderment, was not to refuse or even resist, but simply to embrace the role she had been given. Let it be with me according to your will. Now, we're not all called to the same tasks, and most of us will never be asked to bear the child who will save the world. Although you could argue that each child that is born has the potential in its own small way to save some part of the world. And the story reminds us that small beginnings have big consequences, and that God works through the most ordinary of people to bring about the healing of the world. Now, some of you probably get Richard Rohr's daily meditation, and if you do, this story will be familiar to you, so bear with me, because he used it just over a week ago. It's a beautiful example of the way that small actions of ordinary people can bring about pockets of God's shalom in the world. One moment, one community at a time. And the story comes from the Arab-American poet Naomi Shihab Nye, describing an experience that she had at the airport. So these are now her words. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. "Help," said the flight service person. "Talk to her. We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this." I stooped down to put an arm around the woman and spoke to her haltingly. "Shudauda, shubekok habibit, stani shaway min fadlik, shubit sewi." The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment. I said, "No, we're fine. You'll get there. Just later. Who's picking you up? Let's call him." So we called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother, and I would ride next to her. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons, just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic, and found out, of course, they had 10 mutual friends. Then I thought, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took up about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman refused one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar. And smiling, there is no better cookie. Then the airline broke out free beverages, and 2 little girls from our flight ran around serving us all apple juice, and they were covered with powdered sugar too. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person in that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women, too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. As long as ordinary people find ways to offer kindness across the barriers of nationality or religion or race or class, we can bring people together and change hearts and minds. And although we may feel very small in the face of the world's suffering, we know that small actions from small people can have big consequences. I think of all the Mennonites who have been joining together in this call for a ceasefire, and I hope we'll hear from some of the people who've been involved in that during our sharing time, because we want to lift up examples of ordinary people showing extraordinary love, taking small steps toward a world at peace. So this morning, we invite you to think about your life. Think about a time when the act of an ordinary person showed love to you in a way that had an extraordinary impact. Or a time when you were able, in your own very ordinary life, to offer love or compassion that may have felt extraordinary to someone else in ways you might never even know about. Because the healing of the world begins with small events as God works through ordinary people. But before that response time, there's a song that I want to share with you. For many years, John and I went up to upstate New York for a concert done by a group called Noel Sing We Clear. And they were a quartet of, I think they were all British. One of them might have been American. And they sang old songs, old English Christmas carols and pieces that might not be familiar to most of us. And even older, more pagan-based solstice songs about the turning of the year and the turning of the seasons. They'd always have the religious half of the concert and the pagan half of the concert. But they always also sang one new song, a particular song written by a friend of theirs in the mid-90s. And John has been after me for years to introduce it here at Berkesey Mennonite, because it has this amazing blending of the story of the baby and the manger and the angels and all of that, wrapped together with the power of peacemaking and the call for each one of us to be a part of that peacemaking. And it also happens to be extraordinarily singable. So it has a chorus that repeats after every verse. It will be very easy for you to start joining in on the chorus. And if you want to start joining in on verses too, as you feel more familiar, go for it. I admit it is a little more raucous than the typical Mennonite fare, which may be why I've held off for a number of years. But it is a joyful season, after all, and we are called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, Tony Barron, who is the lead singer on this and who sadly is no longer living, but who headed up the Noel Sing We Clear group, lovingly called this the alliteration carol. And as you sing it, I think you'll hear why. So follow along and sing as much as you want.